Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, come on, let's go. Quit playing around.
Let's get it.
Rob's not even in the screen. There he is.
You know how he is.
To get my cup of tea, man.
Yeah, okay. Cup of tea. Let's go grab
is that asparagus tea? Asparagus tea, Rob?
Peppermint tea, but I did have some asparagus for my lunch and dinner today.
Yeah, that boy is drinking a hurricane. Don't y'all listen to that.
Look at that steam coming out of that cup, man. I know you can see that steam coming out of there.
You got to do the whole hurricane, kid. I ain't paying him no mind.
Oh, man. None of this.
That's you, DQ. I know you got the stash of moonshine over there.
No, I
know you went. I know you went down to Mobile.
Yeah, I've never been a moonshine guy.
Get some Cat Daddy moonshine. That is the truth, man. I'm telling you straight up, man. Cat Daddy moonshine. That's the way to go.
That's never been my thing, man.
Cat Daddy, it'll change your life, bro. It'll change your life, man. Again, let's your official Crockett Sports Club. We got a lot of things to discuss. NBA's been going. State of college football, fantasy football. I mean, there's just a lot of things to kick off, man. So, gentlemen, before we get started, I just want to welcome you again. I know we took a week off there, but we are officially back in the saddle, as they say. Again, so much to talk about, all that fun stuff. So, Mr. JQ, how you doing today, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I celebrated my 43rd trip around the sun yesterday, well, 2 days ago. Days running together. So I decided I'd feed y'all with a little Expos love, a little Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose. You know, I'll switch it up and just start, you know, bringing out some of my non-reds and Cincinnati jerseys just to mix it up for the folks, you know, bring out a couple of greats out the closet for you. So I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Looking very sharp, my friend. Looking sharp.
Pete Rose, an all-time great.
Represent. Mm-hmm. Yep. Looking sharp. Good to see that, bro. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
And doing great, man. I already told you I had two servings of asparagus today. So,
two.
We know the pea is sinking.
That's not when you get old. He's trying to keep that colon clean.
Oh yeah. So I'm good.
Yeah, I know you were gonna.
We're going to have to pray for Rob. We got to pray for Rob, man, because I don't know what's happening over there, but we'll throw some prayers for him.
Following that up with some peppermint tea.
No, we got peppermint tea for us. We got to pray for us.
That's it. Everyone happy. Curtis and Gary, it's always a pleasure to see you guys. How you guys doing this evening?
Well, I mean it when I say this. Every day above ground is a good
blessed
day.
Yep.
Good to see
that's
you, man.
Right. That's the way to put it in perspective.
I mean that when I say it.
Well, you know, right. Curtis, absolutely. You know, we do have one champion here now. Or you guys thought we had one champion with the Timbers winning the title. We have a junior hockey team here, the Winter Hawks. And they put in a whole bunch of people in the NHL. And they cut their season short, so they gave the champion right to the team that had scored the most goals for the season. And now we got another champion in Portland, Western Hockey League champions.
Yeah,
we're feeling pretty good about that. Damian Lillard, these guys. Hopefully we can pull out this game. We're down a little bit now.
Well,
you
know,
digging deep into the well for the junior hockey.
Tuesday. If you guys didn't notice, Tuesday was a total Portland day. We saw Damian go for 61, and we saw the Timbers get that bubble cup, the bubble cup. And one of our players is the MVP of the bubble cup for the MSL. So it was a total Portland day. Total Portland day.
I don't want to hear that. Tuesday was my day.
JQ, that's my birthday.
Good game.
Man. Come on, man.
Oh yeah, congratulations on the anniversary.
No,
yeah,
Tuesday
that
was my birthday.
That was Andre. That was, JQ's birthday was Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So mine and Arnetta's anniversary is on the 20th. So it's coming right up.
Hey.
Oh wow!
Congratulations. Yeah. 25 for me yesterday, man. So we celebrated. She's in the background yelling. We were in shock.
Wow,
Hitmore's
in the background.
Half the time. Yeah,
did you say 25?
That's right, my friend. That's right. I got married when I was 16, man. So, you know, kind of one of those arranged marriages. Kept it going, you know, so yeah.
And Andre barely looks 25 years old.
True.
We keep adding those on because, you know, when we met back in the day, we just kept going, and the years just kept passing by too, man. So let's keep it going. So,
that's love,
a lot of
love. Congrats.
Somebody put
definitely
up
congrats.
That one is amazing. So shout out, and she got a nice guitar for her anniversary, man. So I have to play that video for her, but she was enjoying
it. You better keep
cooking. You gonna say what's up? You gonna say what's up? You gonna represent? Oh snap! Hold on! Check this out.
My team is Warriors.
Hey, Marcy. Congrats, Marcy.
That's you.
Congratulations, you all. Awesome.
Yeah, man. So a lot of love. So anyway, a lot of love, as I can always keep saying. And like I said, I'm blessed to have an amazing woman, too. So, yeah, good time. So, gentlemen, we've been setting this up. Leo season, her birthday's next week.
Too.
So, again, and Lou is checking in as well. Lou,
what up, Lou?
I called in the show, and I was confused because you kept calling me Jay, and I was like, what? And it's Dre. So, again, it's
Dre. Okay, Dre.
I was like, D-R-E.
All right, Dre. Now I got that all straightened
out. I thought there was another
Jay.
So that's okay, because you thought, I'm like, is that me or is that somebody else? So, again, just a little FYI.
I thought I came up with Jay on the phone there, but it's okay. So it's like Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre, exactly. So I remember whenever there were times I was like, I don't know if you were talking to me or somebody
else.
It came out
of Jay on the phone, so that's what I thought it was.
Nah, it's Dre. Yeah, dear. I mean, that's a little weird, but it's all good. Dr. Dre is the official.
Well, Micah may be calling in as well.
Right. Okay, well, cool. We'll get Micah in. Yeah, like I got you. So a lot of love. So, again, really quickly, we're about 8 minutes in, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. Welcome, Lou. Appreciate you checking in. I know, obviously, a lot of times we try to, like, get the show either Wednesday or Thursday. Things happen. Anniversary last week for Jacob, last the week before we skipped, and then birthday. So everyone's been having fun, too. So, again, a lot of love. We got to talk about a lot of topics. Let's fill the numbers out really quickly. The number I always call into, we're on Zoom. That's why we're talking about what we look like and all that fun stuff. The number to call into the show is always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And we're on Facebook, too, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man. A lot of love about that, too. And we may get a surprise call from Naj as well, too, man. So just a little FYI about that as well. Naj is my dude. Always fire my Atlanta guy, so we're having fun with that too. So, gentlemen, before we get started, we got a lot of things to talk about. The biggest news is regarding the state of college football. And again, this is kind of scary. A lot of things happening with the Big Ten officially pulling out. We have some situations with Pac-12. It appears that the SEC and ACC are still kind of, you know, on the fence for a couple things, too. They were first staying strong, so I'm going to let Rob kind of lead it off. JQ, back to West Coast, and Lee, you can wrap it up, too. So just let's talk about the state of college football, where we are. I need y'all to put some positive vibes in the universe, if you will, too. But Rob, kick us off, sir.
Well, it's interesting, as you guys heard the news today, the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, they just pretty much canceled all fall sports championships for the NCAA, except football, bowl, division football. So the, of course, football championships have been canceled for Division One Double A. But basically, what they're saying is, if you don't have at least 50% participation in a particular sport, they're going to go ahead and cancel it. And so right now, the reason why they did not cancel the football bowl subdivision is because you still have the ACC, you still have the SEC, you still have the Big 12. As of right now, still saying they're playing football. And so that's going to be real interesting if they have a national championship without the Big 10 and the Pac-12 this season. So it's going to be a lot of things that are still very fluid right now. And obviously, you know, I don't know if you can blame the Big Ten and the Pac-12 because there's just so much uncertainty right now. I mean, like I said, I don't think you can blame them. It's disappointing as a fan, obviously. You want to see everybody play, you know, and have a real college football season. You know, that's what we always look forward to this time of year. So it is very disappointing not to see that. Even though as of right now, my LSU Tigers, as of now, is going to play. But we'll see. You know, we'll see if that's going to hold
through. And
Notre Dame, too. Yeah. And so, yeah, we shall see how that holds up. But it is very disappointing as a fan. But obviously, it's much bigger than us right now with everything that's going on with COVID-19. Even though things seem to be slightly getting better here over the last couple of weeks, but there's still so much uncertainty with this virus right now.
Well, my disappointment more is, what do they know and are talking about that we don't know? Because, you know, I'm an Ohio State guy, I'm an Ohio kid, and, you know, it's like, oh, wow, we got the schedule that comes out, and then we talked about them moving up the Ohio State-Michigan game into October to be able to move it back in case something happens, and then you get 7 to 10 days away, and then you cancel the season. So I don't understand that. What has happened in that 7 to 10 days that we went and put out a schedule for the whole conference, and then said, nah, we was just playing, and you remove it. My standpoint is I get looking out for the kids 100%. But when you got the SEC, I think starting, I think like now, late September, why not call them and say, you know what, we're going to push our schedule back. Before you release it, push your schedule back to match what the SEC, the ACC are doing, and then just buy yourself some more time. If things happen to where you can actually play, then cool, you play. But if y'all get together and it gets to be, you know, the beginning of September, mid-September, y'all, and they've been having conference calls with each other, they feel like once a week, then just make a collective, you know, hey, we're not going to play. So I just don't understand the, here's the schedule and now we're gone, and saying, instead of just saying, we're just going to push it back 3 weeks and try to see what the rest of the conference is going to do, and then we'll make a Power 5 conference decision together whether or not we play or not. So that's why it's disappointing, I think, for the football fans, because it's just a mixed message of why put a schedule out just to totally take it out a calendar week later. I don't get that.
Yeah. And I think the thing that's also disappointing, too, is the lack of unity. When you have two of the Power 5 conferences that are canceling the season and the other three is still trying to make it work here. And, you know, I'm just surprised that they didn't get together and try to get more, JQ mentioned, just do more homework. And one day we're excited about the schedule coming out, and then the SEC released, you know, they didn't release, like, dates for the schedule, but they released, like, what teams are going to play who from the other division. And, I mean, that kind of gave us a lot of excitement there. Then all of a sudden now we're talking about a couple of conferences canceling and a couple other conferences considering canceling as well. So it is very disappointing. I'm not sure how this affects the NFL with the spring football. Do you push the draft back next year from April to after the spring football season is over? So it's this could really hurt a lot of players. It really could. It really could hurt a lot of players in their draft stock. And every year you have players that come out of nowhere and their draft stock improve. And now if the Big Ten and the Pac-12 doesn't play, that's going to really hurt a lot of football players in those conferences. The elite players like the Justin Fields of the world and the Sean Wade of the world and the big offensive tackle from Oregon, I mean, they'll be there. Those guys will get drafted. But there'll be a lot of players that they won't get to show off their development to improve their draft stock, and that's going to really hurt them.
I'm going to take a couple of different looks at this. Some of the things I've been hearing is liability and lawyers. And what happens if you do show up at college and you affect, you know, 100, 200 people? Who gets sued? What parents try to sue the university? What parents go crazy? What lawyers go crazy? That's a dangerous, dangerous outlook. And I believe that had something to weigh into these conferences and how they handled it. One of the things I saw here locally, was mentioned on the news here locally, the towns of Eugene and Corvallis, Oregon. They're looking at just their downtown core and the football Sundays. We're bringing in, like, we're talking $5 to $8 billion on these college football Sundays. And we're keeping a lot of the businesses in those small towns afloat. And they're wondering how they're going to absorb that impact in these small towns in Oregon of not having college football Saturday in the fall. And it sounds really bleak. And I have my certain situation. And I don't want to say that this is one of the worst years of my life. With
I think we can all speak
all
to that.
That is so unknown and so negative, in my opinion. Everything we're going through right now seems to be really negative. But I did hear this also, that the difference between the college needs they need a CEO for college football. They need a leader. They need a Dana White, a guy like that does the USS for college football, because college football is a huge business. It's a billion dollar business. And I've heard that the rest of the sports in college are almost hobby compared to the business that the college football does. But what I also wanted to say is, you know, just the big difference is an NFL owner for the testing, for putting up in a hotel, for the quarantine, can put out a $25 million, a $30 million check. Colleges cannot do that. These colleges cannot do that. And that's the big difference between the NFL and college football, that an owner can – Jerry Jones has got a hotel for the whole team right next to the facility. They're not messing around. Oregon still might can probably do that, but I don't think the NCAA will let Phil Knight do that, you know. And we have a little bit different priorities out here in the West.
So what do you guys – what do you think? Do you think the other three conferences are going to follow in the in that same line? I know it's big business. You guys think that it's just going to be – They're gonna play a full season. They're gonna modify it. What's your take on that?
The ACC are gonna do it. Come hella hot water. In the Southeast, you know about college football. The SEC and the ACC are gonna come hella hot water to play this season. And I just wanted to say real quick to your point about the parents. The Big Ten players' parents sent out a statement saying, "Hey, we want to play." So you talk about the lawsuits and whatnot. They came out and issued a public statement saying, "Hey, we want to play." So the Big Ten applied in the face of what the parents said. So maybe they do reverse course and try to sue them at some point. But they came out initially and said, "Hey, don't cancel because you're scared of what we're going to do. We want to play."
Right.
All the money.
And I think the bottom line with that is you saw a good bit of college football players speak out and say they want to play, including Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields here. And said, "Hey, we want to play." And I think the bottom line is, hey, if these guys want to play, let them sign some type of waiver. Protect yourself. And obviously for these kids, their careers are on the line too. It's not just
college football season to a lot of these players. Their careers, their exposure, all of that's on the line for a lot of these players.
Yeah.
If you take the percentage of the college football players that are, you know, that make the NFL or even make a practice squad, it's just a small percentage. So most of those players on these college football teams, this is it for them. And that's also another reason. It's it for them. It's as far as they're going to go with their college careers, and they want to play. And you can't blame them, you know.
I say they want to play, let them play.
Yeah, let them sign some type of waiver, go into this and play. At some point, you know, I've listened to a lot of scientists and doctors regarding COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we as human beings have to figure out how to live with this virus.
That's what I've been saying for a while.
And that may sound insensitive to some degree, but we have to figure out how to way to safely live in this environment. Hey, you know, washing your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water. When soap and water is not available, use sanitizer. Try to stay away from large gatherings. Social distance as much as possible. Wear a mask when you're in public. You know, doing those things until we can get a handle on this thing, well, I think we have to try to figure out how to live and be safe with this virus existing the way it is.
But you also have to depend on that other guy that you're lined up against, on that other team, that he's doing the same thing. That's the problem. You can do all the right things. I'm sure everybody that's on this show right here, we're doing those types of things. We're making those types of sacrifices. But you don't know if that, and that's the big rub, is you don't know if that guy that you're lined up, you know, like the LSAU guy that won't wash his hands or something, you know, you don't want to line up against those guys.
Yeah.
LSU guys like that.
That's a very
important thing.
What the guy is doing, you know, we got to be responsible for ourselves. We can't be responsible
for
millions of people.
Yeah, and that's a good point. If you look at Major League Baseball, you look at the NFL, neither one of them are using the bubble format that the NBA is using. So that is a
bubble.
It's very hard. Now here, the NCAA is considering bubbles for college basketball already. So they're even talking about that, having a lot of bubbles across the country for college basketball, especially with a lot of
the
schooling being virtual too. They could probably pull that off.
Wait, say, Lou.
How could the NFL use a bubble? I mean, how could they adapt to that?
I got to answer that. I got an answer for that too. Micah, are you on, by the way? Did Mike join in? Micah join in?
Yes, I am on.
How are you, man?
Hey, Micah, how you doing? This is Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing okay right now.
All right. Welcome.
Tommy, you want to talk about we're talking about state of college football? You want to talk about that, or what's your thoughts on that?
Just some parts about like what you were talking about in the college football.
Well, you know, Micah, so I got a question for you.
We've got
two of the conferences that are power conferences that are bowing out, and we got three that are still in play to play. Should they bow out or should they play? And what's your take on that?
To probably be safe, I think they should probably go out.
Good point. I agree with you.
Gotcha.
Safety first.
Now, it's pretty interesting because we'll get Mike into more, too. I know he's baseball, too. Show some love for that, too. To answer your question about the bubble, and I think JQ kind of mentioned that, I want to say 2 weeks ago, JQ, you were talking about possibly having, like, you know, like you're, for example, I'm going to just pick the NFC South. You know, you've got the teams that are kind of playing. You have them kind of quarantining, I guess, you know, maybe they're all playing at the, you know, Mercedes-Benz or something like that. So, you know, all the squads are here, kind of put them in the village, and you kind of have them quarantine, you know, all 50-something players for each squad are kind of in a certain area. So that way you kind of control the environment, if you will. then you know that, you know, those teams are going to play. They play, if you will, and you can have these set up in different places. Like, you have the West squad, you have, like, the Dallas, you know, they're playing at Jerry's World, you know what I'm saying? So all the squads that are in each division are kind of bubbled in that section and kind of set apart. So then you play, you have each division play, you know, whatever, the winners, and then you kind of go and something like that to that effect. And that's not really vetted out, but I think, JQ, am I kind of right what you were talking about as far as kind of doing something like that?
Yeah,
that you're talking about?
So it was Nas actually that was talking about the bubble piece where, like, and I piggybacked on it, like what baseball is doing, where you have them
right.
play in your division and then you go, you know, interleague and you play like
yeah.
the same division, so you're in that same geographical area. So like the AFC North
right.
plays the AFC, you know, saying they're going there and they play the NFC North. So you stay in that little, you know, 200-mile radius up there, and you do the same thing in the West, you do the same thing in the East, you do the same thing in the South. Like, you just don't have these cross-country travel pieces. You pick a big location, say, and, you know, you play at Soldier Field because it's in Chicago. It's located closer.
Right.
You play in Jerry World because it's big enough because they have the hotel right there. You play in L.A. because you have more places where you can go somewhere and be, you know. Like, you got to get creative. But the problem, I think, with the NFL is that can they pull that off at this point without having already – exhausted that possibility. Think about how far in advance the NBA was in terms of being in Orlando, shipping in the courts, getting the people there in enough time to get them and get them quarantined. Like, it's, you know, August 13th. You're talking about starting the season, was it September 10th? And if you haven't made the decision and made these kind of reservations, and, you know, how do you do that now in a month?
They're the NFL.
I don't know if they've given
themselves
enough.
They're the NFL. They can make that happen, Jake. They're the NFL. They got billions of dollars. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yes.
But if they really want to do something, you'll get it done. But, I mean, again, that's not the be-all. But, I mean, again, that may answer the question of the quarantine if you had to worry about a bubble or something like that. Because, again, to talk to what you're saying, Gary, too, and Curtis, because, you know, again, they're not going to be swimming because you got to think about how that affects the parents, it affects the kids, it affects their future. All of that comes into play. If I'm not Trevor Lawrence, I'm a quarterback, I may be, as Rob mentioned, a fifth-round draft pick. Now I get a chance to play for my development. Now I've elevated myself to a second-round pick or something like that. So I need to play to show I've made some strides in the offseason. I've made some strides in getting better as a player. You know, so you do not deny me that opportunity. I've worked hard this summer. You know, I'm a huge Georgia Tech fan for whatever reason. It will. Georgia Tech was going to have a better, you know, year. You know, so we're getting all these pops. Now I'm not going to get a chance to see them play. So that's a little frustrating, right? Because you've seen some strides in recruiting. Now you're like, man, I wanted to see how they would match up against Georgia, getting these bigger, you know, offensive linemen and whatever. Now you're like, you know, you want to see that progression each year. So it's definitely, I know, not to be insensitive as Rob said, but it's just one of those tough things that you want to kind of get everyone involved and say, hey, guys, we have made some strides. Let's figure this out. As Rob said, wash our hands, keep it bubble, figure out a way to make – because we're supposedly a pretty smart, intelligent race of people. We can figure this out. You know, we can figure out a way to get this off, you know. That's what I would say. I'm going to say this real quickly. That's my little piece of it. And we've spent a lot of good time here. I know Curtis and Gary are over there sweating about the Blazers, if you will, guys. We're in the fourth quarter, a couple minutes left to go, if you will, and that's on a break for me. So if the Blazers win, the Blazers are in. If they do not, it looks like the Phoenix Suns, as me and JQ were talking about, you don't want to face the Phoenix Suns too. But right now, let's talk about the state of the NBA of the Western Conference, and I'll let you guys, Curtis and Gary, start it off, and then we'll kind of go back around and wrap it up with Rob here. So what do you guys think about this, if you will?
Well, you know, they're in a tough game right now. Down by 4 points, 3 minutes to go.
They don't play defense. They don't play defense, guys. Why don't they play defense, man? Come on, man.
Exactly.
That's the new NBA, man. The new NBA, man, is a space and play game, man.
70,
everybody's going 120, 130 points. 70.
But you got to play some defense, though. Come on.
Let that man talk.
Go ahead, Gary.
Wow.
Go ahead, Gary. My bad.
Just jumped on.
Who's your team? The Hawks?
Yeah.
They're the big defensive power?
Uh-oh.
I'm not talking junk.
Okay.
I'm not
he got two
junk.
Teams, Gary. Neither one of them in a bubble.
No, you know what, I'll tell you what I'm proud of. I'm proud that they went out, and win or lose tonight, the Blazers went out and played hard. They played together. They fought as hard as they could to get in, and they've got a chance right here to get in. That's all any of us fans wanted.
Right.
You know, now I hear, you know, I'm hearing smack that, oh, you know, if the Blazers play the Lakers, you know, the Lakers don't want them. I'm not buying into that either.
No.
I think the Lakers are number one seed for a reason, and I think that the Blazers are playing good, but a seven-game series is – it would be nothing short of a miracle for the Blazers to be able to beat, if they were to get in, to beat a team like that. I mean, that's realistic. I think if they would have to play, they would have to play that three game because the Lakers are not good at guarding the three. And if the Blazers happen to, you know, get on a roll where they can, you know, play a few games where they're hitting those threes like that, they would give them a shot. That would be the only shot. But I would give them a 25% chance in that series.
The good thing about the Lakers, the Blazers won't have an answer for Anthony Davis. And but at the same time, with the Lakers guard situation, they may not have an answer for Lillard and McCollum either.
CJ, yeah, I'm not trying to hear that.
And Curtis's boy.
To put over there.
And Curtis's boy. If you remember last show, Curtis's boy, he told you who to. He said, "Hey, watch Gary Trent Jr." Remember?
Uh oh.
Yeah. Blazers just took the lead.
Mello's been balling too. They
got to
do it.
I've been watching all the Blazers games in the bubble, and they got people in Portland on the edge of their seat every fourth quarter they played in this bubble. They've lost the two games they lost by one possession. And the games they won by one possession. And it's always came down to the fourth quarter. So what you're watching now is par for the course on how the Blazers have been playing in this bubble this whole time. And
this is just the play in the play-in tournament.
Yeah. And this is when we're going to look for Dame time and Dame to take over a game now.
He's been taking over. That's the thing.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's
some defense
right there.
To that reverse change.
Wow, great steal.
I'm not listening.
Yeah, that's
some
defense
change,
right
we
there.
We can't. Oh, yeah, we
you
are.
You know what? You're getting done with that.
Get out of here.
Hey, a few weeks ago.
I think they're going to get
this. A few weeks ago this. We were talking about the three-point shooters, you know, the Ray Allens and Reggie Millers or whatever. Those guys weren't shooting from the logo. Those guys were hugging as close as we possibly could to get to that three-point line, and if they were at the logo, it would be a damned air ball. They don't have the range of a guy like Lillard or Steph Curry, and you guys keeping Damian Lillard out of that conversation, I thought was absolutely ridiculous. And you'll as you see it more and more, and you're watching it more and more, you're realizing what a player he is, what a great player he is. Yeah, I'm not
That's
talking to
talk.
You.
That's crazy talk. Because you know why?
That
back
is
in the
crazy
day, if you
talk.
Pulled up from the damn logo, if you pulled up from the damn logo with 20 seconds left on the shot clock, the coach would take your ass out the game and say, "What are you doing? This is not the kind of offense that we
run. Not if you're
this
making them.
Game.
Not if you're making them."
That's not how
but you
could play
those guys couldn't make those shots, and you know it. You pull up all
they
the
could.
Little
they
Reggie
could.
Miller feel shoot. He's up to that line as close as he can get. Ray Allen the same way. Great shooter, but also right up to that line. He wasn't launching those things like these guys are today.
Because
no
you're a ass bitch for doing that. Coach will get in your
because
ass.
He would miss it. That's why. That's the only reason why.
We can agree to disagree.
Don't hate. Appreciate.
Oh. Oh my God.
Well, you know who opened up the floodgate, and that was the Splash Brothers at Golden State.
That's
5 years ago, when they came out doing that crap, and then you got Harden, just for me, I don't like it.
Mm.
But Harden,
yeah,
they say Harden's a superstar because all he does is throw up. You know, in my day, Harden would be getting benched, and I don't like that basketball.
Yeah,
so let me ask you a question. If to get off of that in the Lakers and the Blazers real quick, because we were talking about the Western Conference in general.
Oh wow!
As I look at the way this is hanging up, do you think the Mavericks, if Doncic and KP come to play, do they have a shot against the Clippers in the first round?
I think they do, man. That could be scary.
They do.
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to see if it was just me. I was looking at that like that Dallas team might give them more trouble than people.
You know what it's going to be in that series, which is going to be the 2-seed Clippers against the 7-seed Dallas. Clippers, one of the better defensive teams in the league, one of the few teams that still play defense. But offensively, the Mavericks are a terror with Doncic and Porzingis and Tim Hardaway Jr. and that group.
You're home for one shot.
Man, and the pace that they play at. And,
we needed that.
That is going to be one of the better series.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, wow.
Last shot right here.
Hold on by one.
Yeah.
Wow.
We
are engaged, folks.
Portland needs a stop.
Here's the defense you want. The rebound. Carmelo.
Unbelievable.
This is the way the Blazers have been playing this whole bubble. It's come down to this.
That's how you play the game.
Man.
That's how you play the game.
Remember the last game? The guy had the last shot. He hit the backboard. He had a chance to tie that up and hit the backboard.
This is a play-in game.
It's coming down to
Portland.
You gotta be proud. They're in the eighth spot.
So Portland actually only needs to win one. Memphis needs to get two.
Yep. They did play.
Wow.
Man, so again, we are watching that live. I'm going to say this really quickly. The reason why, again, it's crazy because taking shots from the logo kind of started because, again, it's definitely changed the way the game is played because you can pull up at any point, and now that's extending the defense because before you coming down the court, you know, hey, I've got this little section. Now that guy can pull up from anywhere. Now I've got to extend my defense. Now that, again, puts more pressure on the defense because now as an offensive guy, I know you're shaking your head, Gary, but that's how the game – it's changed the game. I don't
There's
like
three guys
either.
That can do that. Three guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not the whole league. Not a guy on every team. But I'm going to tell you guys a real story.
Yeah.
My younger days, there's this park in Portland called Lorehurst Park. And a lot of us kids were showing up there. Damian Stoudemire was still in Arizona at the time. Damian Stoudemire from Portland. And I had a pretty good team that we was against. And Damian Stoudemire was doing that to me. I'm trying to guard Damian. And Damian was coming across the half-court line, jacking him up and putting him through at the park. And my teammates are asking me, can you guard Damon? And I'm asking my teammates, can you?
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Oh, man.
Can you?
No.
Well, then you stay on him, Curtis.
Yeah. I can trip him up. I can trip him up and make it happen.
Well, y'all know who used to do it back in the day, right? Y'all remember Lord Free? Changed his name to World Be Free?
World
Be Free, man. He used to love shoot the ball from out of bounds, other end. They asked World Be Free. They asked him, they said, why you don't like taking the ball out? Because if I shoot it from there, it don't count.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about a couple. So, gentlemen, I know we've been having such a good time. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. If you will, and we do got to get back to be normalcy. Your boy just drove 4 hours from Charlotte, so I'm a little going to get caught up. But I do want to ask JQ about the seating for the Lakers, and I do want to let Rob also talk about fantasy football because we are going to see how this plays out too. Quick update. The Cowboys are on the topic list, if you will, too, because, again, just there's some Super Bowl odds that have come out. I want to get your thoughts. But again, we're kind of opening up the floor for that. Micah, we appreciate you joining us, so you can add a thought too as well. We've got a couple things that you can talk about. But just kind of keep that in mind too. So, you know, the seedings, what do you think about that, JQ, and kind of what's happening with the Lakers and kind of how that plays out for them and everything? What have we learned about those games, if you will?
I learned that they didn't care. I learned that once they figured out they had the one seed locked up, it was about, you know, we're just going to chill out. We're going to let some other dudes play. And to me, it looks like they feel like they can just flip a switch. The one thing I also learned is that they really need Kyle Kuzma to come up as that third superstar in a big way. Like, I said that before this season started. He's got to be the one. He's the one they wouldn't deal. They were okay to give up Lonzo Ball. They were okay to give up Brandon Ingram, give some picks to get AD in, but they did not want to include Kuzma in that deal. And he's showing you flashes, like the other day, you know, they were playing against the bench against them, but that's still a really big shot on that pin down to get that three-pointer. He's got to be consistent, especially looking like they're going to play the Blazers. He's got to show up for four of those seven games to get them out of the first round. He's got to. To me, that's what I learned about the Lakers, is that you feel like AD is going to do his thing. You feel like LeBron's going to do his thing when the playoffs start. Who's going to be that third guy that you can count on, that you're going to need to come back, Nurk and CJ and Dame, and if Carmelo turns back the clock, Kyle Kuzma is the one that's going to have to do that for the Lakers. That's what I learned.
Yeah, and I think another thing in regards to the Lakers, they need some outside shooting to come up big in the playoffs because Anthony Davis will be getting double-teamed every time he gets the ball. If they can't figure out who's going to knock down those open three-point shots in the playoffs, that's going to be huge for the Lakers. And I think another thing for the Lakers is they are going to have to get it done defensively. When they play good defense, they get out in transition, they'll be hard to stop. And so that's going to be key for the Lakers. They're going to have to get it done on the defensive end, get out in transition, get those freight trains and Anthony Davis and LeBron James out there, and they'll be hard to stop in transition. So that's what's going to be key for them to be successful in the playoffs. And, I mean, you look at the rest of the Western Conference. I mean, we talked about the Clippers, we talked about Denver. But a couple other good, intriguing series there, Utah and Denver. I mean, last week they played a heck of a game against each other. I think it was Saturday. Went to double overtime. And when you look at the Joker against Rudy Gobert, one of the best, one of the better big men offensively passing the ball and scoring against one of the better defensive big men in the league, too. So that's going to be a very intriguing matchup, too, in that 3-6 matchup. And then Houston and Oklahoma City in that 4-5 matchup. Russell Westbrook is going to miss, you know, at least first two or three games
in the
playoffs
right now.
And that's going to be a huge loss for Houston, which kind of gives Oklahoma City the advantage there. And I think if you're the Lakers, if you can get by Portland and possibly have OKC in the second round, I'm not going to say you got a cakewalk to the Western Conference Finals, but it looks a lot better than if you had to go through Houston in the second round and be dealing with Harden and Westbrook. But, you know, there's a chance Russell Westbrook will be back in the latter part of that series if they can extend that series. But, you know, looking at it, I think the Lakers would rather face Oklahoma City than that team with Houston, with Harden and Westbrook.
And also, I think about what Westbrook's condition is going to be. You know, you're talking about your legs, you know, was you going to run in the gravity pool or whatnot? Like, if your quad is messed up and you get back, how many minutes can he play right away? What's his condition going to be? Because he clearly is not going to be able to be running and be able to keep that win together to just jump back into a playoff atmosphere and give you, you know, 30-some points of high-quality playoff basketball. That's also going to be tough, even if he comes back in, say, game 3, 4, or 5.
Yep, absolutely. But it's going to be interesting. You know, the NBA had one of their better off seasons last summer, and now we finally get to see what's going to come out of that. When you look at the movement around the league last summer with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to the Clippers, Anthony Davis to the Lakers, it was a wild off season. Last year, Chris Paul to OKC, Russell Westbrook to Houston, even though we may not see him in the playoffs. But now we finally get to see what came out of that. Mike Conley to Utah, all of these transactions that took place last summer in the NBA. Now we're finally going to get to see, you know, what comes out of it.
Harden's over there crying somewhere. He's like, I can't get it. I can't get a break. I can't get
it. Yeah, well,
Mr. Well, he needs to play better in the playoffs.
Big wuss.
That's true.
Yeah, James Harden has not gotten it done in the playoffs yet.
100%.
It's just time right here in the first round to show it. All that back talk with Giannis and whatnot. Yeah, Mr. MVP. Russell ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
You still got a decent sidekick, you know,
I'm
support cast, and you get them over at KC.
Yeah.
So,
hey, you know, Reggie Jackson had the nickname Mr. October. James Harden should be called Mr. Regular Season.
Yeah, it's all strong drink.
But a lot of people have been saying they didn't have that regular 82-game season this year. They should be there 4 months of rest and 4 months to get their bodies right. And if James Harden didn't do that, shame on him.
Right.
Because he didn't go through an 82-game season this year.
There should be no load management whatsoever. Go ahead, Gary. You about to say?
Well, you know, what about Paul George? He hasn't been out of the first round for, what, 4 or 5 years either. He definitely has a big mouth. He definitely has a big mouth against Lillard. I love that.
He already sent him home once.
Yes. I love. Hey, when Dave hit him with that Biggie tweet, I said, come on, Dave. That's my downfall.
I tell you what, I would have really liked to see Portland and Phoenix go head to head in that 8-9 play in instead of Memphis. Memphis is kind of backed into this thing. You know, losing Jaren Jackson is a big loss for them, and they didn't really play well in the bubble. I think they finished like 2-6, but they went into it with a 4-game lead, so they just kind of hung on to play in that 8-9 matchup, but I tell you what, man, Portland and Phoenix would have been a heck of a series. Matter of fact, they should have just turned that into a 2 out of 3.
That would have been fantastic.
Devin Booker's been like on fire, man, dunking on folks, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In a perfect world, I would just trade my left whatever to make that happen for the Hawks. That's what we're conversing.
And they just put a whooping on Dallas today. I'm not sure if Dallas played their key players. They just took him to the woodshed today.
Hey,
Rose, the bubble,
I do want to ask. Yeah. Micah, did you have anything to say real quick?
Is this going to be the best first round that we've ever seen all through 1-8 series? Is this going to be the best first round we've ever seen in a conference final? Yeah, we got to think about that. It's going to be good. But
right.
I'm just – Dick, what's your thoughts on the matchup if it is the Blazers against the Lakers? I told you, and I was honest about giving the Blazers maybe a 25% shot. What's your take on that?
I think it's closer than that. I think it's closer than that because Rob hit on it. People don't understand how – bad losing Avery Bradley is as an on-ball defender when you have to go against that backcourt of Dame and CJ. But then you also don't have Rondo, who's, I know, getting older, but also plays much better in the playoffs and is a good defender. I said CJ and Dame probably are looking like, oh, my goodness, we're going to get Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. We're going to go to town. Like, that is going to be the Portland backcourt versus the L.A. frontcourt. You got Dame and CJ being able to have an advantage against the Lakers backcourt, where now AD has got Nurkic and Whiteside to contend with, and you got LeBron. LeBron's going to have to be vintage LeBron in this first round. I really think so, unless you get some kind of throwback performers from Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. But can you take that to the betting table? Nobody's taking that to the betting table. As a Lakers fan, I want to see that happen. But that's my point, though. So you're going to have AD and LeBron be otherworldly against Portland in that first series. I really do. That's it. They got a tough draw. I know they were sitting home playing Call of Duty like, fuck.
I think, though, I tell you another thing that may work out to the Lakers' advantage is Portland has to play this weekend. And, you know, whether or not they have to play one game or two games, you saw the end of that game tonight. Dame Lillard looked exhausted. He's putting so much into this, and rightfully so. I mean, they had to come back, play themselves into this this play-in series. So, I mean, that could be the only thing that works to the Lakers' advantage. But I think if I had to make an early prediction, I think this could be a 6-7 game series. I think the Lakers still find a way to pull it out, but I don't think it's going to be easy for them at all.
The way you've been playing lately, no, because they've been showing very vulnerability.
A lot of vulnerability. But a part of that is I wonder how much – to me, it just didn't look like they were taking it seriously. Once they beat the Clippers, they said, okay, we can beat the Clippers, and we get to number one seed. It looked like it was like, you know what? Why are you hurt pulling hamstrings trying to do something that we already locked in? We can't change where we're going to be. We're already number one, and we have no impact on who's going to be 7 or 8 with their schedule. So it kind of just was like, bumping.
Yeah. And I don't think we saw Vince's LeBron in our one of these bubble games. Not one.
No.
I think we saw Vince's AD in some of those games, but we didn't see a Vince's LeBron in not one of those bubble games. At all. How about Phoenix going 8-0 in a bubble and don't get in?
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah,
but it was horrible before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a whole season before that. You're right.
Yeah. All that counts. You're right.
Rob, we got 10 minutes, Rob. Do we really quickly, I know I want to get Mike there too, but can you talk about the fantasy football quick update? And I will let Mike get his thoughts and we'll kind of talk about the Cowboys Super Bowl odds real quick. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you all know we have 4 Talking Sports with 12-man fantasy leagues. One, our first draft is this coming Tuesday night in a 12-man sports in our league. Number one, our fantasy draft is this coming Tuesday night. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central.
Sorry, I'm busy.
For our people in the Mountain Time Zone, that's going to be 6 p.m. So I'm going to do a quick shout-out. Irvin, Atlanta. All right, get ready for the draft. Eagles Chick for Life in Albuquerque. Gentilly Hot Sausage. Girlies with Gumps. Lions King. Monsters of the Midway. JQ was on the call already. Purple and Gold Patrol. Shock the System. Andre's Team. Straight Cash Homie. And I think I missed one other one.
Right.
Yeah, get ready for the draft. And Mickey's Baller, Jordan from Orlando. Get ready. That's those of us competing in that league. We are drafting this coming Tuesday night at 8 p.m. For the fantasy draft.
Are we getting,
players, baby. Don't show
Gary, are we getting Gary and Curtis in the leagues, Rob, or no? In the league possibly?
Yeah, if you guys, we got a few leagues with some spaces if you guys want to join us.
Why are you shaking your head, Gary?
No, speak English.
That'll do it.
I'm so sorry, you guys. Man, I love my real football. Real football to me is fantasy.
We're not about the fantasy.
Yeah, I like what is on paper, what I'm seeing face to face, and one of the things when I'm at an active football game and I'm in the bowl and I'm close, the first people I watch when I watch football is what's happening on the offensive and defensive line. What I see in there is I see men that want to whoop your butt, that want to work, and that's something I like in a man, men that know how to work and know how to get it done in the trenches, in the fight, in the whole yard. That is enough fantasy for me when I see that, and I see these
fair
giant
enough.
Men beating everybody up. I'm in heaven. I love my football.
You guys picking up Everson Griffin too. That's good pickup. You guys getting Everson Griffin too. That was I was a little hurt.
1 year, $6 million.
Yeah, good dollar for pickup. Yeah. Yeah, man. Just that defense. Yeah. So it looks like you're trying to get that one side of the ball definitely handled. And we'll talk about that. That definitely changes the course of the Cowboys. And their Super Bowl odds, if you will, as well, because I'm just giving you a hard time. I like messing with you guys too about the Cowboys, but a lot of question marks, my friend. Starts with quarterback.
Well, I'm hearing a lot from other football experts, and they say the teams that have the continuity from year to year or last year to this year will probably be ahead of the teams that have these new coaches, new coordinators, new everything.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys fall in that group. It's a new coach.
All right.
It's a new coordinator. It's a new system. They may be behind the eight ball a little bit when it comes to these teams that kept it all together from last year to this year with no hiccups and no things. In this environment that we're dealing with now, they may have a distinct advantage.
Well, Curtis, when you play the Giants twice and you play the Redskins twice, that's like having
not the
four
Redskins,
extra bye weeks. So that's...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the Washington football team now.
Yeah, but that's not the – those teams didn't hurt us. There's one in that division that hurt us badly.
True.
And they got to get over that.
What was that?
Yeah.
What are the Super Bowl odds for them?
Yep.
Yeah,
you
got
to be able to beat the Jets. You got to be able to beat the Jets.
There was
you
got to
be able
nine...
to beat people with 40 people off the street.
45 there was over 900 people from the street that played in that game for the Eagles.
Curtis tells us every week. How many players?
Yeah, every week it's these players.
He's just shuffling the fresh guys off the street.
Hold on, what are the actual odds?
Yeah.
I didn't look at it. What are the Cowboys Super Bowl odds this year? Because I didn't see it.
I don't know what the Cowboys Super Bowl odds are. Rob, what, you got it?
20, was it 20-1, Rob?
I don't know what the actual odds are, but, you know, just kind of wanted to get you guys' take on what you think.
Well, I'm here an expert. There's a lot of people that don't think the Cowboys are going to win that division next year. There is a lot of people out there that think Philadelphia is going to win that division next year.
You've heard what Curtis and I said. And we said this a few weeks ago where we said a Cowboys successful season will be a minimum of being in the NFC Championship game. That's the only way it would be a successful season.
And they have to
show up for that game too. So that's where we stand on that work. Odds of going to the Super Bowl? I don't know.
I mean, because it's the Dak question. And it's hard for Jerry to take Dak if he's not beating Carson Wentz. It is going to be hard for Jerry to take Dak if he can't beat Carson Wentz.
12-1. 12-1 odds.
I see the Cowboys are the favorite in that division. I mean, when you look at their roster, I mean, they are loaded on both sides of the football. I mean, there's really no excuse for them not to win that division this year. And, you know, I think the Cowboys are the favorites. And the Cowboys really should win about at least 10, 11 games this year and win that division. I think top to bottom, the Eagles are probably an 8-9 win team at best.
Good.
I hope you're right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Hey, we cover some NBA, we cover some college football, we cover some NFL, and we got a little bit more to cover on our OT portion. And unfortunately, we can give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link, and you'll get the rest of the show. Once again, tune in, click on the same link the rest of this weekend, and we'll give you the rest of the show. We'll probably be going back to Wednesday night on next week. Obviously, we're going to be right in the heart of the NBA playoffs. Hey, those of you all working from home, there's going to be NBA basketball on all day during the week. So if you're working from home, hey, man, get your popcorn ready. It's going to be NBA basketball all day, like NCAA tournament style. Get ready, people. We'll be back on Wednesday night. Good night.
Man, I'm so mad at my damn. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you remember when I showed you my cycling jersey a few weeks ago? I'm going to show you guys my bike now. Got a little bit.
All right.
That's that boy, huh?
Okay, Lance. You got to ride back to the commission and get by their truck?
It's just over 14 pounds.
Wow.
That's hot.
Wow.
That bike is serious. That jersey is trash.
I want to ask you a serious question.
When's the last time you got paid $31.5 million?
Huh?
Tell me about some trash. When's the last time any one of us got paid $31.5 million?
I'm really more so talking about the team.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that seat. That seat is not
I believe you. They gotta prove it. They got to prove it. They didn't prove it last year. I got about 11,000 miles on that bike there that you just saw. The one in my garage, I've got about 19,000 on.
Nice. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's impressive. All right. I wanted to let Micah
American Flyer
before we wrap up too. Go ahead. Did Micah have anything to say, man? I know you've been kind of quiet. Maybe appreciate you kind of joining in and calling the show. Do you want anything you want to add? Because we always kind of have like a free for all for the last part of the show. Open floor.
I did have one. Actually, about the Dallas Cowboys. I think they might be up there with. Maybe winning the division, but I just don't know until, like, whoever said that they make it to the NFC Championship game, I can't really say. But I really, because I've heard of them getting a new coach or coordinator is going to be really hard and stuff. But my one question is for when we were talking about football in NFL was about for the Seahawks, about if Marshawn Lynch or those Jay Clowney is going to sign or not, and
what's your take on that, Rob?
What was the question
about Clowney and Lynch?
My question is about like if the Seahawks have like signed any of these like past like Clowney and Marshawn Lynch, and I think the Cowboys are going to do well this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I just mentioned, I think they're definitely the favorite to win their division. The interesting thing about the NFC is that you still have teams like the Saints and the 49ers and the Seahawks and the Buccaneers this year. So those are going to be four other teams to really watch. As well as competing for that NFC title. And I'm not sure I'm ready to put the Cowboys over those four, but I do think the Cowboys are the favorite to win their division. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I think Clowney's still sitting out there. I think Clowney has to come back to earth with his contract demands. Yeah, he's just demanding way too much money and clearly that market has not materialized for him. So Seattle may be able to bring him back probably no more on a one-year deal for him bringing him back. He's going to try to better himself again. But I haven't heard any news on the Clowney front. I know that Dallas was thinking about it, and I've heard the Browns as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, Seattle's pushing all the chips in whenever they traded for Jamal Adams too, man. So that's another interesting thing too. So
yeah,
keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Watch the Saints with Clowney too.
The Saints, huh?
Yeah, the Saints have had some conversations with them, so we'll see. You know, I would say that the Saints and the Browns are probably the two teams to watch right now.
How the Saints got money, man?
Hmm? Damn Browns.
How much Saints got?
Saints got about $9 million in cap space, man.
All right.
They like to cut somebody.
For real, that's what I'm thinking. They got to cut somebody. That's the question. Yeah.
They'll restructure like they always do.
Yeah, they're freed up.
So, did we answer your questions, Marcus? We got those, you know, Cowboys, all that stuff, you know. All that good jazz.
Yeah.
Nice.
I just don't know how the rest of the week is going to be going.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's in a state of, you know, flux because of this year, I would say. All right, for the East Coasters, like you said, open format. A couple things you could talk about. I know there's a couple topics about George Kittle getting that huge extension, some AFC predictions, the Chiefs and Travis Kelce doing their thing, and then biggest surprise definitely got to be the way the A's are playing, man. By the way, that's the team, man. Just excited to see them doing their thing as well, man. Congrats, Rob, to the Yankees whooping the Braves. Braves that had a lot of injuries, man. But, you know, again.
It wouldn't have mattered.
You know, yeah. Yeah, well, I think, a healthy Mike Soroka would have been able to at least do some stuff. And then Ronald Acuña had a sore wrist too, man. So, but again, you know, congrats. I'm not a sore loser. Congrats, guys, man. So, you know, I just hope you guys can hold off, man. So, anyway, good job, you guys. Go perform out. What you got?
Yeah. Easy work.
I think the Blazers are going to do well this year.
I'm hoping so too.
I'll jump into it. Man, listen, the tight end market, right? I mean, the two dudes that just got done, you know, but playing in
Super Bowl,
getting ready to get broke off and reset the tight end market. I mean, wow, I know Zach Ertz was like, can I get back to the free agent market here soon? It's impressive. You know, you're getting that when you get that kind of quarterback play and you got, you know, good wide receivers on the outside, then it opens that middle up. And unless you just got a stellar middle linebacker or you know, a free safety that can control the, you know, in between the hash marks, if you got a good tight end, you can feast. And George Kittle and Travis Kelce have feasted, you know, around in those offenses. So, you know, more power to them. It's just rare that you see two tight ends get broke off in the same offseason with those kind of contracts. Mm-hmm. But the amount of wear and tear that's on their bodies, the amount of hits that they take, and the blocking and catching they have to do, more power to them, but just for getting paid. So, a lot of love for Kittle and Kelce. Those are two studs that got broke off today, like studs.
I think it's the offense, man. Straight up. That's me. Go ahead. That offense. Just put him in, like, Kyle Shanahan's offense, put him in a lot of success. Because I don't think before you – George, not that he's such a good Kittle wasn't talented, but you put him in a good position to coach him up. I definitely think that's a great thing for him. So he's taking Shanahan to the bank. Rob, what you got, man?
Well, you know, just looking at the not so much about the tight ends, but really about the overall AFC picture. I tell you what, the AFC East, you know, when the Patriots signed Cam, you know, I initially kind of brought them back to the front of that division battling with Buffalo. But, you know, when you look at some of the players they've lost for opting out now, you got to bring them down quite a bit now. You know, you're back to giving Buffalo the favorites to win that division. And, you know, but one thing you got to watch about Buffalo is Tre'Davious White has been kind of been thinking about opting out, even though he's there now. So we'll kind of see, you know, what that looks like. Yeah, that would be a huge blow for Buffalo. But, you know, right now you got to say Buffalo is the clear favorites in that division right now. And I think they're still – the Dolphins are still going to be young. I think the Jets still has a ways to go, and I think the Patriots have a ways to go. So Buffalo could be an easy winner, actually, in that division. And you look at the North, the Ravens are going to be really strong again. The Ravens have an opportunity to win as many as 13 to even possibly 16 games this year. I mean, they're that strong. And then when you look at their schedule, other than the teams in their division, but I like Cleveland as the second-place team, and I like Cincinnati and Pittsburgh kind of battling it out for third. When you look at Pittsburgh's talent, they don't really have a very talented roster. So I got Cincinnati and Pittsburgh kind of neck and neck in that division. The South, I like the Colts. I think they're the team to beat. I think Houston and Tennessee will be battling it out for the second place. And I think Jacksonville will bring up the rear in that division. And, of course, the West, you got the Chiefs. The Chiefs will be the clear favorites. I like Denver number two. I think Oakland and San Diego will be kind of a nip and tug race for that third.
LA,
spot.
Bro.
Yeah, LA. I'm sorry. Yeah. Help, thanks for helping me out. still don't sound right.
The LA.
But,
what are they?
Yeah. But Kansas City is the clear favorite in the division. I mean, I like Baltimore as the second best team, but I still like Kansas City to come out of the AFC overall.
Barney and injuries, yes. Kansas City should be taking that. Yeah, good. Yeah, good call.
And that's incredible.
Curtis Gary.
Rob, let's hear your picks on the NFC West. I mean, I want to hear where, you know, I know it's going to be between you know, San Fran and, you know, and Seattle, who do you think is going to win that division?
Don't sleep on Arizona.
Yeah, I like Seattle to win that division. I really do. I think San Fran comes in second. And I think Arizona is one of those teams that will be much improved, but they're still going to be somewhere in that 7-9 win mark. I think the Rams will bring up the rear this year. The offensive line might be close to being one of the worst in the league this year. They're going to have trouble protecting Jared Goff.
Rams have fought.
What scares me, if my team was in that division, if I were either a 49er fan or a Seahawks fan, is Arizona. Because Arizona is one of those teams, if they win 9 games, that means they're winning some division games. And those are the games that they know you. Those are the ones that are tough. And just like when Arizona came up to Seattle and knocked Seattle around, they're a better team. And I can see them doing that. And I can see them bringing those other two teams down into the mix where, you know, one of them's going to be a wild card maybe, but maybe there'll be a wild card somewhere else. Maybe they won't even get that wild card because of Arizona not even down.
17th Arizona. Year, so you're going to have 3 wild cards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Arizona reminds me of the squad. They're a young squad. They're a young squad. They just don't know any better. So we're going to keep playing, and that's a dangerous team. You know, like, you know, obviously Kyler Murray's doing his thing. Great, good offense.
Hopkins.
They're playing. Yeah, so getting Hopkins, how did that even happen? We're still figuring that one out.
Right.
You just add some weapons to that squad, and you just, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you bring up Hopkins, and I'm not sure that guy in Houston knows what he's doing.
He does.
Brian, I think his name is.
Yeah.
I think he's outmatched in one of. He might be outmatched in both of the jobs he's trying to keep down there. And like I said, that owner must be trying to go cheap because he needs to do better than that with that organization.
He got pitched.
But
naked pitched.
You know, we saw Hard Knocks. I hope everybody saw Hard Knocks on Tuesday. And we saw Joey Bosa get paid. And then on our list today, we're talking about Kittles and Travis Kelce getting paid. But we also saw that Peter's guy for L.A. Get mad at the reporters that were talking about his contract, and he was trying to get paid. And it brought me back to the days of when Emmitt Smith was struggling for that money when they paid Troy Aikman. And we're talking about some systemic racism and what things look like. It brought me back to some ugly things with how you value the white players over the black players, even being seen in the NFL. And you guys talked about Clowney today. And people are saying he's not worth the money. Are they saying he's not worth the money because he's a black player?
No.
And Joey Bosa played 1 year, and Joey Bosa got on Hard Knocks. He walked right into a contract extension after his 1 year.
Yeah, we're going to have to definitely table that again, Curtis, because you hit another topic that we want to spend more time on, because that's a really, really great point for sure, man. So anyway, it's one of those things too, man. But again, for the sake of us East Coasters, again, we're probably ready to turn in, man. I know, like I said, had a nice long drive from Charlotte, so I'm going to be a little spent. But again, we got to appreciate you guys always joining in. Curtis, Gary, I sincerely appreciate your awesome feedback and your energy and everything like that too, man. So keep it going. We're always praying for you guys to make sure you guys are keeping strong. I know we've had a couple of tough couple of weeks. This year has not been kind to a lot of people. So you're always in our prayers, man. So keep the fight, man. Your encouragement to us, to me, and we appreciate you sincerely, man. So let's make it happen. I'm hoping we can get through this. We can hug in person, man, and do something, man. You know, and all that jazz, man. So I'm still waiting for our guy trip, man. Some way, somehow, we're gonna make that happen, man. So you know, let's keep that faith going too, man. So with that being said, I don't know if you wanna say anything else in that, Rob, or how you wanna do that, man.
Yeah, I think you said it very well, Andre. I certainly appreciate that. And definitely, you know, stay strong, hang in there. And we're praying for you, brother. Keep fighting, Curtis. And, you know, you can reach out to any of us if you need anything, even if I know we're miles away. So definitely, stay in touch. But other than that, to our listeners, we're going to be back on the air on next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll be back on next Wednesday night. Tell you what, that Miami-Indiana series in the Eaps, boy, Jimmy Butler and T.J. Warren, them dudes going to be acting a fool going head-to-head against each other.
Oh, yeah. Sunday. Oh, yeah. Get up and play early. Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I got to go to sleep. It's been a great show. I'm looking forward to these playoffs because now it's time to ratchet it up, you know, so let's get it going. I know we're going to have a lot of good fodder to talk about that. I have no idea how the St. Louis Cardinals are going to finish this baseball season. These jokers have played five games.
That was going to be the two surprises for me for Major League Baseball season. That the fact that the Cardinals have only played five games and how the Astros are struggling. And you know, with their stealing signs scandal, you know, you would think that they wanted to come out with a bang this year to show that was a no joke, but they're really struggling. Now, obviously, pitching has got a lot to do with that. Justin Verlander's probably not going to pitch this year. So that's a huge blow to them. But, you know, it's really surprising that they started out the season 8-10 with the amount of success they've had stealing signs the last 3 years.
No, there you go. That shows you why. Stealing signs. That's why.
It's easy when you know it's coming.
Last thing you got to say, Curtis, before we wrap up?
One of the things that I've enjoyed in this pandemic time, and it was a sport that I didn't play as a young man and a young, healthy man. I didn't play any golf. And I've been enjoying watching this golf. And because it was in San Francisco this weekend, it was really close to my imagination because I spent a lot of time in the Bay Area. But if you guys saw this guy named Ruth Kepa, and Ruth, the day before, he did a press conference where he said, he looked at the leaderboard, he was two shots off the lead, and he would have won, if he could have won that, he would have won his third straight PGA championship. And he was talking stuff. He said he really liked his chances. He looked at the leaderboard, and what he was looking at was, there were three guys in the top seven that had only won one tournament, one golf tournament. And he had like four of them. So, yeah, he was talking some stuff. Then he went out and shot the second worst golf round in PA, the golf history, second worst in history. He wasn't shot. I just thought that was precious.
That's exactly how that's why you don't. That's why you don't talk.
Hey, golf is a very, very unforgiving game. But you know, for those of us that are hacks, if we hit one or two of those shots that resemble what we see on TV, it is huge for us, right?
Absolutely. That's what brings you back.
Yeah, you forget all of those lousy shots, but you always remember those good shots.
There it is. So let's end it on that note, fellas. Hey, man, guys,
Good luck. Good. Have a great evening. We're about to pass out.
Bye.
Much love from you guys. Until next week, guys. Enjoy. Much love, guys. Keep strong.
And Micah, give me a call.